Uh-oh.
A little bit of Ray. The best bits.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and indeed girls, here she comes once again. Who's that lady? Hey guys, who's that lady? Did you just wolf whistle? That's completely inappropriate.
Kira King. Kira King. Kira King.
JP's just been cancelled. That's great, actually. Do you know what? I've been trying to find...
Finally.
I'm trying to find an excuse to cancel it for years.
Kira,
for
you
years.
Look great. You look great. That's
thank
all I'm saying. You look great.
I was on great. Ireland AM this morning and I got my makeup done and I've just been too lazy to take it off, guys.
So. Ireland AM?
Yes, I was on Ireland AM.
On Virgin Media Telly.
Mm, chatting about books.
I never watch it.
Really?
I never watch
it. You never watch it, Ray? No.
Who's on there these days?
I have no idea.
You couldn't pay me to watch it. Do you know what? I'll watch you on the watch back.
Thank you.
On the Ireland AM. I used to do that as well. Anytime you get the makeup on, it's like, you know what? I look all right here. And they give you a baby wipe after the show. The makeup lady usually gives you a baby wipe or some makeup remover. The gunk. And she's like, do you want a baby wipe? And you go, yeah, thanks, I'll take it. And never use it. Oh, I'll just use it in the toilet.
So... here's something that you didn't know about me, but I'm not very good at putting liner on the top of my eyes, okay?
I didn't know that.
All right?
I didn't know that.
So when I go out to Ireland AM, they do it for me before I go on the television, and I'm like, how many days can I go without washing my eyes so that I can keep this eyeliner looking, you know, fabulous?
Free fabulous
eyeliner.
Makes
my
eyeliner.
Eyes pop. Yeah.
Is it, next question, is it Virgin Media, do they own the eyeliner or do you bring your own eyeliner and let the lady put it on for you?
It's their own eyeliner.
It's theirs.
Because I don't own my own because I can't do it.
All right, fair enough. Mm-hmm. So how many days do you think you can get? Will you get the weekend out of it?
I might get 3 days maybe.
Okay, so over the next 3 days, Kira's squeezing in 6 days.
And then also
dates.
Get conjunctivitis, but anyway.
Right, no problem, that's fine. Anything for the free eyeliner. Let me have a look at this. We were talking about situations you find yourself going along with it. We were talking about Tom Cruise playing a prank, a terrifying, life-threatening prank of pretending to crash the helicopter he was flying with his co-star Glenn in it. But Glenn's telling of the story is like, oh, it was gas. But I had to go along with it because, you know, Tom Cruise, and he's the most powerful man in Hollywood. Have you ever found yourself in a situation, aside from your contributions to this show,
mm-hmm.
have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're deeply uncomfortable and you're just going along with it because everyone else is
doing? Do you know what? I would go and see a lot of movie previews and whatnot. And I remember being in the cinema for 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
And it was the most cringe-inducing couple of hours of my life because it was just a load of women screaming and shouting at Jamie Dornan on the screen anytime he came on. And it made me massively uncomfortable. I was like, I'm not a part of this. I'm bigger than this. And again, with the Barbie premiere, there was just too much screaming and whooping and people dressing in pink. And I dressed in black, which was accidental, but it just made me uncomfortable. But obviously,
fair
I had
enough.
To go along with it because it makes me look like I'm zero crack, right? And I'm not having
the fun
like everyone
else. So did you actually clap and cheer then at the Barbie movie? Did you go, whoa, you go, girl?
No, I actually, because I was dressed in black, so I got my picture taken, you know, in the Barbie box that everyone was, mm-hmm. and I just looked really dark and moody compared to everyone else who was pink and happy.
Do you know what? That's not too bad, really. I suppose...
it's not too bad, yeah.
Feeling like you're enabling the movement or being part of the movement, it's like, oh, just so we're clear. I'm too sniffy and snooty for this.
See, this is it. And I know how I come across. But yeah, no, I just find it massively uncomfortable to be sitting in a cinema full of women and they're just shouting and whooping and woo when Jamie Dornan's getting naked.
Have you ever been to a strip show then?
I've never been to a strip show. I would find it so uncomfortable.
I would die.
Yeah.
I would absolutely. JP, have you ever been to a strip
never
show?
Never been invited multiple times or it's been on the plan and I've always opted out. I couldn't bring myself.
Yeah. I often, you know, anytime I have to go to a stag do, I often think, what's going to happen at this now? What's expected to happen? And are there going to be any surprises? Not for the stag necessarily, but even for me.
Yeah.
I don't want any surprises.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we going for dinner? Will there be a starter, a main course and a dessert? Great. That's all I'm signing up for. Terrified. All right. What are we looking at this week then? Where do you want to begin?
Let's start with Eric, which is the new one out on Netflix as of today. And it's Benedict Cumberbatch and he stars. It's an emotional thriller set in 1980s New York. He plays a puppeteer called Vinny and his 9-year-old son Edgar has gone missing.
Missing persons, Detective LaDroit.
Mark up every door you've knocked on, every area you've searched.
Mr. Anderson, do you have any comments?
Press there, I'm crazy with this.
Do you even have a suspect?
We're ruling nothing out.
They're saying that if he was alive, that you would have found him by now.
You have to trust me.
What are you doing with Edgar's drawings?
I'm working on a new puppet. If we can get him on the show, then Edgar will see him. He'll know how much we want him to come home.
You're going crazy.
The kid's been gone for over a week.
Don't give up on him.
Eric is going to help me find Edgar.
All right.
Yes. So this is not your typical crime thriller, by the way. There's so much more to Eric, but I do feel like, I wonder what I recommended for you guys to watch. I'm not quite sure. Benedict is absolutely
because we're stupid and we love the Barbie movie.
No.
Instead, you won't hope and holler along and wear black at the Barbie movie. I'm too intelligent for this.
I'm just so, you know, so smart, guys. No, it's definitely, okay, so I'm going to try and describe it to you. Okay, so as I said, it's not your typical crime caper. You've got Benedict Cumberbatch and he plays Vinny, and he's this character who's really, really hard to like. He's got a drinking problem. He's part of a really toxic relationship. He doesn't pay enough attention to his son, and then his son goes missing in New York City, set in the 1980s, as I said. And Edgar, his little boy, has been trying to tell his father about this idea that he has for a puppet called Eric. So as Benedict begins to lose his mind, he wants to create this puppet because he feels if he does, that his son Edgar will come back. There's loads of kind of red herrings and twists and turns in this. There's also loads of subplots going on, like there's the AIDS epidemic in 1980s New York, racism within the NYPD in 1980s New York.
Oh my God, sounds like it's trying to say a lot.
Yeah, but it does it in a really interesting way.
Okay. And from the trailer, and I saw the trailer months ago now, but it's kind of got the puppetry style. Is it kind of like Coronation Street?
Yeah, it's just like Coronation Street.
You've got a Roy puppet.
Right.
Roy's Rolls.
Get out.
No, like a Sesame Street sort of thing. And your man is a professional puppeteer. And,
yes.
Right, okay, that sort of. From the minute we watched the trailer, my wife and I, we were like, would be totally into that because of Benedict Cumberbatch and because it seems interesting. But anything involving a kid going missing, we're out.
Okay.
We tried a couple of years ago. James Nesbitt was in a thing where his son goes missing or his daughter goes missing. And again, it was critically acclaimed, hugely regarded and recommended at the time. And we stuck on 10 minutes of it and we were like, oh God, no, no. As parents, and something changes in you where it's like you just can't separate your own being a parent with then watching this.
Yeah.
And similarly, I don't know, but it does look
Benedict Cumberbatch is brilliant in this. And what I'm loving about this new movement of the shackles of the Marvel movies been taken off these actors is he's probably going to get nominated for an Emmy for this. Like, he's really unhinged. He's very good in it. Like, he's brilliant. And it's just good to see him playing a different role that isn't Doctor Strange. You know, soundtrack's absolutely incredible. And I love a TV show that's set in 1980s New York. I didn't realise how much I loved it. But it's also a fresh take. It's original because we've seen how many movies and TV shows set in a particular period in New York City. But this one is quite interesting.
One other thing that I just assumed, but I'm guessing, I'm assuming the other way now. From when I saw the trailer a few months ago, I thought that's based on a real life story, a true story. This is all fiction.
To the best of my knowledge, yeah. And you'll know that when you watch it because there's a lifelike puppet called Eric in it.
Okay,
you know, without giving away too much. So,
okay, gotcha.
I mean, maybe it did.
It's Eric. It's on Netflix, and you can check it out this weekend. We do one. Is the one we can do very short? Actually, I'm getting squeezed here. You see, Kira, I'm getting squeezed.
Who's squeezing you? I'm not squeezing you.
The time is squeezing me.
I'm not touching anyone.
I'm at 3:23. Kira, come on.
Okay,
stop
the sympathizer.
Squeezing.
So we're talking about Marvel characters. Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. has had a great year. Won an Oscar for Oppenheimer, and he is starring in a new show called The Sympathizer. It's based on a Pulitzer Prize winning novel, and it's about a half French, half Vietnamese communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War.
Right. Have a listen.
I couldn't do that. I'm sorry, guys.
Now it's a party. have a listen to this, Robert Downey. This is a series as well.
It is indeed.
Biracial, bilingual. That was a synthesis of incompatibilities. So what did I do?
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Get down!
Saigon, 1975. I was a man of two faces.
You are the only one I can trust.
The war was ending.
Yo!
And I awaited my new assignment.
My protege.
Jesus.
So where are we going?
To next harbor on your CIA voyage. America.
Another lad, Iron Man, doing something else for himself away from the Marvel Universe too, the Sympathizer.
He's not just doing something else, he's playing four different characters in this TV series and he's one of the producers as well. So you've got Robert Downey Jr. in many different kind of roles in this particular series.
That's always a red flag to me. When someone is playing multiple roles, it's always a red flag to me. It's kind of like, oh, you get a bit indulgent.
It feels a little unnecessary, but I also love that we're in this era of Robert Downey Jr., which I think is going to be incredible. It's about a guy called the Captain. He's a communist spy. He leaves Vietnam and he ends up in Los Angeles as a refugee, but he learns that his spying days aren't over. For the first episode, you really need to concentrate because it jumps forward and it jumps back in a particular timeline. There is a lot to take in. It's stylish. It's got heart. It's very funny in parts. And we usually see the Vietnam War from an American point of view. And in this TV series, we're seeing it from the other point of view, which is refreshing.
It sounds, well, the trailer makes it sound thrillery, spy thrillery.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be all just tense. Lads chatting to each other.
Tense because you know how it's going to end. You just don't know when it's all going to unfold. Okay. So it kind of keeps you watching.
Where's that?
It is on Now TV. And also, just to mention, Sandra Oh was also in it as well, if you're a Grey's Anatomy or Killing Eve fan, and she's brilliant in it.
She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. The Sympathizer, you can watch it on Now TV, starring Robert Downey Jr. The new Mad Max film, it came out last weekend, did it? Furiosa. If you've seen it, 0874 100 102. What do you make of the new Mad Max? We'll be having a look at that next. Shawn Mendes, Now, Today FM. Good afternoon. I'm Ray Foley. There is JP.
Oh, yeah.
Kira King's over there.
Hello.
I went over €40,000 on the cash machine this afternoon. We're making the call in just a few minutes. If you got your phone number in before three, we could be calling you in just a few. Meantime, Mad Max Furiosa.
Yes.
It's a Mad Max story, don't you know?
This is the prequel to Mad Max Fury Road, starring Anna Taylor-Joy as the Road Warrior, who will later become Charlize Theron, if you know what I mean.
All right. So if you saw the other one, Fury Road.
Yeah, with Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron.
I didn't realise it was the same. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. So there's a prequel. Have a listen. This is Furiosa.
As a child, my world was forever changed. My mother was magnificent. And he took it all from me. My childhood. I want them back.
There will always be war. But to get home, Furiosa fought the world.
Johnny.
Are you familiar with Mad Max Fury Road, Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron? Because that was kind of the one that was in my zeitgeist, really. And the only thing I really knew about it, I have watched it, was that Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron hated each other.
Yeah, they were made to hate each other, apparently, by the director. I learned that yesterday, yeah. Never watched it. It was supposed to be brilliant. It's been on my to-do list for years, obviously.
Well, it got nominated for six Oscars or won six Oscars. I can't remember.
I think you're making this up as you go along.
This is the fifth film in the franchise, and if you've watched any of the Mad Max movies, you know here begins Furiosa's journey. She is orphaned at a very young age, and then she basically spends her life killing as many baddies as she possibly can. This movie has Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth? He's got prosthetic teeth and a prosthetic nose.
He's a nutjob biker boss called Dementus, and himself and Furiosa lock horns against each other.
This whole bit is Marvel dudes doing other stuff.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God, guys, I'm just after realising that
it's
now.
A theme.
He's kind of like Thor-esque in this movie, though, and he's just so funny with that whole macho thing that he goes on with. Like, he's brilliant in it. This is fun. There's chases, races, crashes, bashes, cinematic gold, and, you know, lots of regards or whatever. I'm not a huge Mad Max fan, but it's kind of fun. You know what I mean? It's fun. Anna Taylor-Joy, I heard her interviewed. It took 78 days to film one particular segment of this kind of like race through the desert on a rig or whatever. Again, I'm not a huge fan of Mel Gibson was the first Mad Max, wasn't it? And then it was Tom Hardy.
Yeah, Gibson did a few films.
By an Australian director, George Miller, and he's an ex-doctor from Australia. And he's also known for Babe, Pig in the City, and Happy Feet, along with the Mad Max movies, which I didn't know.
Likes to mix it up, clearly. 0874 100 102 for your... people have seen it because it was out last weekend. Saw Furiosa. I don't know why they made it other than for a cash grab. It's good.
You see, that's it.
But not brilliant.
Yeah, well, the box office would reflect that as well because it didn't, I think it scored one of the lowest Memorial Day box office openings in America.
Okay.
We've seen a lot of that as well. Fall Guy. Did you guys see Fall Guy?
Well, I watched Fall Guy at the weekend and I thought, Jesus, this is very quick. It's never a good sign, they say, if it comes on streaming. Within a couple of weeks of the release, it says that they're so desperate to get money out of it that they'll stream it sooner while it's still hot or while there's heat in it.
I'm genuinely surprised by Fall Guy not doing well.
It was very good.
So there's a couple of reasons why these big blockbusters were not having the summer of blockbuster hits as everyone has kind of anticipated. And I think it's fatigue. And I also think that we've completely changed how we're watching things as well, you know?
I don't think it's a good thing. People need to be going to the cinema. Otherwise, if people don't go to the cinema, movies aren't going to be made, not going to be paying for films.
Absolutely.
And now that we're beyond the age of Marvel, it's an opportunity to be trying new things again. Furiosa looks amazing, but it's a good 30 minutes too long. Jess, love the show. Hey, that is another thing. That's the problem with every film, Jess.
Mm-hmm. I say that every single time.
Every single time. By the time you're looking at your watch, you can be guaranteed there's another 35 minutes left. And Christine in Limerick says, hey guys, I just started watching Eric today. Looking good so far. Love the show. Hey. Eric, every time I think of, every time I hear the word Eric, what do you think?
Cantona?
I think Simon Cowell's dad and Simon Cowell's son.
That's really weird.
Wow.
So weird.
That is so weird.
The directions we go in, eh? The directions. Let's do the Acolyte super fast. Like, super fast. This is the new Star Wars. My boy is very excited about this. The Acolyte, it's on Disney Plus on Tuesday.
A Jedi was murdered.
The Jedi justify their galactic dominance in the name of peace. But that peace is a lie.
Jedi are being hunted.
She was my student. I trained her. Let me be the one to bring her in.
This looks good. There's been a murder. There's an investigation. It looks dark. It looks dramatic. See, these spin-offs of the Star Wars or the series that have been made for Disney Plus.
So, going to level with you. Mm-hmm. The Mandalorian was the last that I got invested in.
Okay. You got Andor. That's the best. That's the very best.
Oh, yeah.
Bloody good. Andor's number one.
Sorry, you've been telling me about
Andor's
that.
Top of the chart, right? There's some hits and misses. The Book of Boba Fett, a bit of a miss in my opinion. Mandalorian, very, very good. And this looks like it could be done the bit. What was the last one, actually? Oh, Ahsoka. That was pretty good as well, actually.
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, and Boba Fett was okay. It was panned, but it was okay. I'm not hugely into the Star Wars, really. Andor is easily the best. The Acolyte has got Carrie-Anne Moss. She was Neo's girlfriend.
Matrix, right?
Matrix. Oh, yeah. She's in it. And this is... it's a murder mystery. I don't know much else besides... trailer looks fantastic. Definitely worth having a look. The Acolyte. It's on Disney Plus, and I think they're putting two episodes up on Tuesday. Kira, King of Blanche's Woman.
Thank you very much, boys. My darling.
A little bit of Ray. The best bits. Catch Ray Foley from 2 p.m. weekdays on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey.